It's October, and October is the month the state's highest court, the Michigan Supreme Court, begins hearing oral arguments. That process is set to start tomorrow at the state capitol building. The seven-justice court is described as the state's court of last resort. Hundreds of litigants appear before it in the course of a year, hoping it will overturn a decision made at the Court of Appeals level. Decisions follow these arguments and are rendered throughout the year. Last Friday, I had the chance to speak about the court's work and responsibilities with two of its justices, Bridget McCormick, a liberal, won election to the court in 2012. Chief Justice Bob Young, a conservative, has served on the High Court since 1999. He's in his fourth year as Chief Justice. I first asked Justice Young how familiar the justices are with the cases it will soon be deciding.
Well, we've gone through at least a process of selecting them to be heard. So we've at least gotten through our vetting process, which is our leave granting process, where the cases come to us. We discuss them at conference and decide whether it is substantial enough a case for oral argument. And right now, we're all reading all the briefs and all the materials that have been submitted to us by the parties in preparation of hearing the actual arguments.
I would say in some ways this call, I bet we're prepared for a little bit earlier because it's our first one of the term. So
right. Mm-hmm.
We've had a little more time. Our clerks have had a little more time with these cases. And so we've had materials on them for some time now. And we've been working hard this week.
Do you enjoy the chance to hear particular kinds of cases? And vice versa, do you ever dislike knowing that a particular kind of case or a kind of decision lay ahead?
I've already been burned for saying I wish there was a certain statute that was a little clearer than another. That's the marijuana statute.
Okay.
It seems like every month we have a new marijuana case because the statute is so muddled.
Just about everything is clearer than the marijuana statute, is it not?
I think by design it wasn't. That's kind of my sneaking suspicion.
I've found that I'm surprised by what cases interest me. I mean, it's not always, you know, sometimes the criminal cases have the juiciest facts, but they might turn out to be legally the least interesting on a particular call. And something that I didn't know nearly as much about and got to learn about turns out to interest me a great deal. So I find myself surprised.
And that's the nice thing about this job. Whatever we did as practicing attorneys, once you become a member of this court, you're a generalist.
Yeah.
Every kind of case that exists in the state can come to our court. And so you kind of have to become a mini expert on each kind of case that comes before you. And that does make it exciting and interesting to keep learning new things about different areas of the law that you may not have practiced.
Justice Young, you're credited with changing the atmosphere at the Michigan Supreme Court from a pretty frosty environment, it was referred to by some as dysfunctional, to something calmer and more functional. How did you and others accomplish this?
I don't take credit for that. I think my six colleagues are serious lawyers, committed to trying to figure out what the law is and doing that. That's when you have that predicate, everything else sort of follows. And we are respectful of one another, and I think we enjoy one another. It's fun to go to conference now. It wasn't always so. In fact, during most of my career, it was quite painful to go to conference.
What was it? Dysfunctional? Is that a fair way to describe it? In the early 2000s?
Not in terms of the law. I think the court did yeoman service in trying every occasion it had to clarify and make easier to follow the law.
Was it adequately discharging its functions or inadequately?
Yes. No. Our job is to ensure that the law is as best we can make it clear to the public so they can function within their rights and responsibilities. The infighting that was going on at the conference table didn't affect the decision. It just made the process of having discussions with colleagues unpleasant.
And now it's the opposite of that. Now it's extremely pleasant.
Well, Justice McCormick, couldn't one argue that some amount of tension, especially in this setting, is a good thing?
I don't know. I don't think so. And let me tell you why. I mean, the fact that we like each other, get along with each other, I don't think decreases the value of the work we're doing. If anything, I think we feel pretty proud of the work we've done the last 2 years. And that is not to say that we always agreed. We sometimes disagreed. In fact, different ones of us that you wouldn't predict disagreed. We just did it in a really agreeable way and, you know, tried to have a cocktail afterwards.
And that's really the important point. We do have philosophical differences, and we have differences on particular cases. What's different about this composition court versus the one I began on 16 years ago is that we respect one another and can disagree in a civil way, in an amicable way. We're still disagreeing and pretty vigorously, but it's not ugly.
I would say that you know, tension actually decreases your ability to really listen to somebody else. And frankly, even if, say, for example, the chief and I don't agree about a legal question in a case, I want to really understand what he's saying because it's going to help me sharpen my views and my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I think if there was stress and tension, I wouldn't do as good a job hearing him out and listening to him as I do now. And I want to say one more thing. He's being modest. I mean, the truth is this change in the court has happened under his term as chief, and his leadership really has to be credited with where we are right now.
You two going to have an argument on the radio here in front of all of our listeners?
Yeah. It's,
I never argue.
Our guests today are Chief Justice Bob Young and Justice Bridget McCormick of the Michigan Supreme Court. There was a time when the judiciary was perceived as above politics. That perception has changed. To what extent is today's perception of a politicized judiciary accurate or inaccurate?
I think it's inaccurate. We actually wrote an op-ed piece together about what's happening last term. 40% of our opinions were unanimous. Justice McCormick and I agreed about 90% of the time. And frankly, the biggest variation is 80%. I mean, I understand the reporters like to short hop decisions and say, well, this was a Republican judge or a Democratic judge. The opinions just don't break down that way.
We gave them no material to do that with this year. I mean, even apart from the significant number that were unanimous, we think maybe more than ever, at least in recent court history, for sure.
But doesn't the perception of a politicized judiciary weaken our legal system?
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
I think that's why we work hard to make sure that we can show people that the perception is not borne out by the court.
Yeah, the divisions, even those cases that were 4-3, they weren't, you couldn't look at them and say, that was a split by people who were nominated by the Democratic or the Republican parties. They were not,
not a single one lined up along partisan lines.
Right.
None of our cases lined up along partisan
lines. And I think that's what happens when you've got a court of very serious jurists who are attempting to follow the law.
Just trying to get it right.
We're talking with Chief Justice Bob Young and Justice Bridget McCormick of the Michigan Supreme Court here on Current State on WKAR. Somewhat along these lines, Justice McCormick, a fellow Democrat who is pro-life could join the court soon. That's Court of Appeals Judge William Murphy. That pro-life position worries a number of Democrats. How do you feel about this?
It's not relevant. And I don't know what most of my colleagues' personal view is on that topic. And I don't think I need to know, because I don't believe that any one of them would ever infuse their personal political views into a legal question we're deciding. So the job is decide the case before you based on the law that the legislature's given you, not based on what you might feel in your gut is right or wrong. So it shouldn't matter.
I'm confident that each of my six colleagues are trying to follow the law and not their own personal social or moral political views. And I hope that any future colleague I have will be equally committed to that approach to the job of being a Supreme Court justice.
What he said. You let me struggle with it and then you put it in a neat little package. Good job.
It was just announced last week that Michigan is one of four states selected by the National Governors Association to study ways to improve juvenile justice. What work needs to be done in that realm?
Well, the first answer, of course, is, you know, we don't get to tell the legislature what policies are good policies or not good policies. But I understand they're looking at a number of things, including, you know, the age of majority. Michigan's perhaps a little out of step with the majority of states on that. The process for transferring a case from juvenile court to adult court. The kind of representation juveniles get, especially at sentencing. So I think there are a lot of interesting policy questions that the legislature is looking at. And, you know, we just get to sit back and watch what they do.
The Michigan Supreme Court is more than just the final arbiter of state law. You also have jurisdiction over the operation of the whole state court system.
That's quite true.
What are some of your priorities for improving Michigan's courts?
Actually, for the last 4 years, we have been aggressively trying to reform the judiciary to make it more public service oriented. And that's kind of an interesting thing for government. You don't usually think of government in this way. But first of all, we've downsized the judiciary. We do studies, and we had 40 more judges than we needed. We persuaded the legislature to reduce the judgeships. We have a plan, and that plan is already resulting in savings to the taxpayers of more than $4 million and will eventually result in annual savings of $6 million when it's completed. It's not just right sizing. We also wanted to improve the quality of our services to the public. And so we have instituted performance measures. I don't know if you can think of any other branch of government or department of government where its actors, its employees, are subject to explicit, publicly reported performance measures. All of our judges are now subject to performance measures. We have, last year, 96% of our trial court cases were concluded within the guidelines. We had a clearance rate of 102%. That meant we were reducing the backlog. And for the first time, we had a customer survey of the public using our courts. 94% thought they were treated with courtesy and respect. 85% said they got their business done within a reasonable time. And 81% said their case was handled fairly. So we are measuring how well we are performing. We're including more technology, so we're working smarter. We have a lot of virtual courts now where the judge can be in one place and the defendant, sometimes incarcerated, usually incarcerated, can be in a different place so that the county or the city doesn't have the expense of carting the prisoner from jail to the courthouse. These are all ways that we are reengineering and increasing the quality of service to the public without increasing the cost.
Justice Bridget McCormick, Chief Justice Bob Young, the Michigan Supreme Court have been our guests today on Current State. This has been very informative and fun. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.